Russian Connaughty, how are you, hun?
I'm fine, how
you?
You
got here in a bit of a flat with the Northern Line down.
Yes, yes I did.
Russian, I'm just interviewing a number of comics for about 10 minutes or so, just talking about their life in comedy. Can I just quickly ask you, what got you into comedy? Do you remember that moment when you made the decision to become a comic and stop thinking about it and do it?
I was in Pizza Bella in Crouch End with a friend of mine, Danielle.
Working?
No, we were having dinner.
All right.
And it was like a secret thing I'd never said out loud to anyone before. And then she was quite drunk.
Is this Danielle Ward, the comic?
No, a friend of mine, Danielle Coomer, yeah. And she leaned across the table. We were all sort of talking about our life and stuff. It was like 3 years ago now. And what we want to do and stuff like that. And she sort of leaned over and drunkenly went, I think you should do comedy. And I always wanted to do it. I just went, right, that's it. That's the proof I needed. Yeah, so I just booked a gig.
Did you go through Time Out, or how did you
Well, no,
book a gig?
The King's Head was across the road.
You knew about it?
Yeah, I knew about it, because I always watch comedy and stuff like that, but I never thought I'd do it, really, in my heart. It was one of those things you sort of think, yeah, I'd love to do it, but I didn't think, I never thought I'd do it.
And what were you doing, actually, for work at that point?
I worked in a fashion company.
Doing what?
I was a junior buyer.
All right.
Yeah.
What, for clothes?
Yeah, well, it was, the company sort of, that I worked for manufactured and designed clothes, which they then sold on to Next and stuff like that. Not couture.
So. Was it a source of comedy material?
I've never actually got one joke out of it. Not one.
Did you really love it? Or were
no,
you quite
that was
happy
one of the
to
things,
leave it?
That was one of the reasons I was having that conversation that night. What am I going to do with my life? It was quite. It's just for me. It was quite a soul destroying period because I'd sort of said this is what I wanted to do. And it was awful. The industry's awful. It's not very.
So you had no performing background at all?
No.
You didn't stand up and sing in pubs from your Irish background or get out the shillelaghs or whatever those bloody drum things are or anything like that?
No, I come from quite. My mum's got like 12 sisters and they're like that. They're real showboats and stuff. And like at family weddings, people have to tell them they're not allowed to get up and sing because they pay. You know, it's quite embarrassing because they get quite upset. But I've always been quite loud and gregarious. You know, I've never been the one to get on stage really or do anything like that or sing or.
And how did it go in? Because you did your first show in Edinburgh with Danielle Ward.
Yes.
And how did that go for you?
It went really well. I think we both learnt a lot, as the cliche goes. Audiences, we struggled sometimes because you go when you're not with a big production team. If you're doing an independent show. There's certain things you learn then about Edinburgh and how it works and how to promote it and time to do your show. But as a show, we got reviewed well overall. And I think it was something that I did learn from. Sometimes people say, oh, you learn from it. And I was like, do you though? But actually, I did got back and I thought, actually, I did learn from that.
In retrospect.
Both as a performer and as someone sort of planning to be in comedy or, you know, that way.
And how was how were you building your material? Where are you going with it?
What, now?
Yeah.
I don't know really. I'm always frightened to commit to that kind of sort of say I want to do this is what I'm going to do and this is kind of. I tried to do more of a narrative with Danielle and I did. I did themes, a sort of theme, kind of me getting older and the events in our life that prove we're finally older. I did stuff like when my dad died and stuff like that, which is completely different to kind of, I'm quite happy on stage. But I still try to keep it quite happy, but to do something quite morbid in a happy way without looking mentally ill was the challenge I gave myself. And and it was something I really enjoyed, doing more sort of stories rather than gags and stuff like that. And it's something I prefer and I think comes more natural to me. But I don't know, I'm like I said.
I did a big research project with J. Walter Thompson and that's what came out again and again and again, is women storytelling men gags.
Really?
Again and again and again, is women love telling stories and love to be involved in stories and like community stories, like so a group will say, do you remember that time when you, and then I, and then she, and then whatever, and you build it and build it and build it, and men don't like that, they prefer gags.
It's well, I go out with a comic and he is a complete gagsmith, just words, kind of, that's his. So in that sense, I've got someone who is a complete embodiment of that. He just likes gags and the art of gags. Then there's loads of comics who do really, you know, male comics who really do storytelling brilliantly, and they inspire me more than, I haven't seen that many sort of female storytellers. actually, I have. What am I talking about? They are almost, yeah, no, actually, when I think about it in that frame, in the proper, yeah, but a lot of males, I think, do storytelling really well and stuff like that. I do think it's, I think it's all choice. It's all.
Well, that's what I find really interesting is the industry demands that we all do gags, but some of the biggest paid comics coming through, the Ross Nobles, Bill Bailey's, Richard Pryor, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. They all, Billy Connolly, classic example, yeah. They're storytellers, but actually the industry keeps telling us we have to do gags, but I keep saying, why can't women do stories? And it seems to be they get filtered off. I don't know what pressure you're under, but I just had a conversation with a promoter last week who once again said, you know, what are you going to do? And I said, well, I prefer storytelling, but I can do gags. And said, we only want gags here.
Yeah, I think the thing, is the storytelling, I think what can be misconstrued from it is that they're not funny. And the storytelling, there are, it's gag heavy. You know, when we say storytelling, I think, I'm not just saying, you know, let me tell you the time I went to buy a packet of M&M's. The idea is that it's just, for me, in my personal opinion, it's a nicer way of doing gags because the gags become more fluid and you can add to it or move it. Whereas if you do, just in my opinion, how I perform, if I say this is my gag, this is my gag, this is my gag, I feel there's no fluidity in my set and it doesn't suit me as a performer to sort of say, this is what I say, this is what I say, it's not my style.
Well, also, I think with storytelling, with jokes within storytelling, you can make it referencing to stuff that's going on with you or with people in the room or whatever like that. With gags standing on standalone gags, I find that's the bit that I feel kind of weird. I'm like, well, what's the point? Just because that's a clever play on words and people laugh, it just, for me, doesn't.
It's always the persona from which it comes from, yeah. I think. And I think that's the, it's your, I know that old cliche about your voice, but I think it's absolutely true. If the persona is done really well, and the words come out of that person's mouth will make me laugh, no matter what they are, because it rings true to the person they're trying to be on stage. There's, you know, Andrew Lawrence Marrick. There's a lot of female comics doing it as well, like Josie Long. Kind of, they'll do gags and stories, but it's their persona is completely true. Whereas if someone just goes on stage as themselves, like me, and then just does gags, but there's no real kind of persona or kind of heightened persona, I think the gags can just look like they can come from anyone. And that's the thing, and that's when you lose any individuality you have.
Did you find it hard to find your persona, or did it come quite automatically?
I don't know if I, you know, I think they say play a heightened version of yourself, and I think I'd try that, and then I'm sure I've got it, to be honest, you know, because sometimes.
Still looking.
Yeah, sometimes you feel like, yeah, I've definitely got it, that's it, that's my. And every time you think, oh, you know, every time you see more comedy, you're inspired, and every time, I don't think you should ever say, that's me done, that's my. I'm still into experimenting and stuff and saying, well, that's the kind of angle I want to take or anything like that. I don't want to sort of say 3 years in, that's as good as it's going to get, right, everything in that vein, because I think you're limiting yourself, and you can, I'll still try a character act out, I'll do that every, you know, because sometimes it's nice to write from someone who can say things that you wouldn't come into your head to say on stage, and that, you know, you get lines that way and things like that, and so I just think, yeah, it's a nice way to not limit yourself, to say, well, even though some people found their voice really quickly, I don't think I did or have, it was trying to be as natural but heightened at the same time is quite hard, because you
funny
can just
that thing that the audience finds funny and exploding at 300%. That's how it was described to me. It's like still yo, but it's an aspect of you blown up. And so where do you see yourself, actually, in about 5 years time? Do you see yourself in clubs or running your own show or telly, or
I genuinely don't know. I genuinely hope to still be gigging and sort of improving loads and
it's
loads.
The live side that you like.
Yeah, I like the live side. Sometimes the travelling gets on my nerves. That's it is. I'm not like, I don't want to sound like, you know, one of them road songs, you know, kind of, it's so lonely. But sometimes it can be, you know, sometimes it's when I'm away a little bit or sort of in a.
Biting into a ginster's on a motorway cuff at 4 a.m.
Yeah, and it is, you have to think about that as well, because it's your life, you know, kind of. But I want to carry on gigging and improving. That's my main thing, so I can look back and see like a notable kind of improvement. That's all I think anyone can ask of themselves in whatever profession they're in.
That's lovely. Thank you very much.
Oh, you're very welcome.